In 2021, 2022, Elon Musk, while you're looking at what I said recently about that, Elon Musk made a comment about Bitcoin. He said the US should create a Bitcoin standard for mining. And when he said that, a light bulb went off on my head, and I shared it on my old account, which has since been banned. And that light bulb was this: if you're going to set standards for Bitcoin mining and you're going to set standards for Bitcoin in general, you're creating a kind of Bitcoin OPEC. And if you're going to do that, you're going to treat Bitcoin like it's oil.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. Call this the holiday edition of the Morning Rundown. I'm Vince Lancey. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and a Happy New Year a week from now when it comes. For the holidays, we will forward what we come across, research, news, etc., pertinent to all of our interests without much analysis. The morning rundown, such as it is, will occur intermittently during that time, in between sips of coffee and eggnog, I would think. Okay, so let's start with the markets. 10-year yields are up almost two at 460. The dollar is 108.13, up five. The S&P 500 is 59.78, up seven. The VIX is 16.83. Gold is 26.15, up two and changed. Silver is 29.50, down 12. Copper is 407, up a penny and a half. WTI is 70.08, up 18. Natural gas is 350. All the CTAs are long natural gas now. They definitely have piled in. Up five. Bitcoin is 94,000 and change, down 700. Ethereum is 33.95, down 22. Palladium up about $9 at 941. Platinum 942, up a buck and a half. Gold, silver remain strong, hovering under 90. And grains all seem to be slightly higher. Let me see. Let me get a little closer look there. No, wheat is offered. All right, so 543 down almost a penny for wheat. Corn 437, up a half penny maybe. And 974 for grains. Grains all seem to be relatively calm and soft. Okay, so season's greetings. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy New Year. If I didn't say that already, I'll say it again. All right, today we're going to talk about strategic Bitcoin reserves or reservations. All right, there has been an escalating conversation about Bitcoin as a strategic reserve asset. And well, I was going to do a thing on it today to put it in some perspective from a person who trades a lot of oil and understands the purpose of a strategic reserve asset in oil terms. And in the process of doing that, I found this really great humorous post by T.S. Lombard, which I'll share a little bit of it with you today, and I'll give the rest of it later on today. But before we do that, I do want to just give you something to focus on here. All right. All right. So there's the front page: preparing for Trump, a mercantilism checkpoint. The China tell Goldman pushes back against massive OTC buying, and down there is the analyst pushback. I'm sorry, that's the October buying. All right, strategic Bitcoin reserves. Okay, Cynthia Lummis, an advocate for Bitcoin, as am I, but I'm no congressperson or senator, said, to be clear, the strategic purpose of the strategic Bitcoin reserve is to explicitly, strategically pay down government debt hanging over the head of every American, put future Americans on a better footing, unencumbered by debt that they never supported or benefited from. Now, I wrote like a thousand words on this, but we're not going to do that. What we are going to do is we'll just go back to in 2021, 2022, Elon Musk, while you're looking at what I said recently about that, Elon Musk made a comment about Bitcoin. He said the US should create a Bitcoin standard for mining. And when he said that, a light bulb went off on my head, and I shared it on my old account, which has since been banned. And that light bulb was this. If you're going to set standards for Bitcoin mining and you're going to set standards for Bitcoin in general, you're creating a kind of Bitcoin OPEC. And if you're going to do that, you're going to treat Bitcoin like it's oil and gold, but oil as well, meaning you need to build a strategic Bitcoin reserve. And you would do that for multiple reasons. Strategic Bitcoin reserve is not for the reasons that Cynthia Loomis said, although, you know, I do think that that will be a knock-on effect of what happens to it. Anyway, the strategic Bitcoin reserve, with the emphasis on strategic, is a thing for the nation. Strategic Bitcoin reserve is a thing. This is what I wrote almost a year ago, a little over a year ago in 23. Yes, they will control and redirect not normie demand into a substitute. I was referring to, of course, well, not of course, but I was referring to ETF creation, a securitized version of Bitcoin. So the not normies, right, the people, the kids that are buying it, that are outside the system, will be brought into the system while weaponizing it in international dealings like oil. Now, the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, was created to protect the United States from other nations weaponizing oil. We're dependent on oil. We need a reserve in case of war. We need a reserve. I mean, if, look, if you understand silver and gold, you understand this. You need a reserve because other people control supply and demand, and you want to make sure you have yours because your nation needs to function. So if we were to create a strategic Bitcoin reserve, which I believe we already have, we're just not going to announce it. That's a sales pitch by Trump. And that's fine. You create it, number one, because if Bitcoin falls into the hands of someone, if someone else controls it, then it becomes a tool to be weaponized against the dollar, like oil would be, right? And so you want to make sure you have enough market share to protect yourself if that ever happened. If people start using it for trade, you need to make sure you have some, just like you do with gold, just like you're supposed to do with silver. We used to have one of those reserves. And just like you do with oil. Now, the consequence of taking a decent-sized market share of an asset like oil means it's strategic, which also makes it strategic so you can weaponize it. So if someone were to get out of hand, you can weaponize your reserves to support your policy. It's like an FX reserve. So a strategic Bitcoin reserve would be something we should have, right? Would I buy it the way people like Michael Saylor are saying it? No, I would just buy it. In fact, they already have bought a shit ton of it. And what they don't own, they own through the custodial banks that handle the normie business. And when you control the ETF like we do, and you control 5% of the asset itself's float or whatever we control, you control the asset. Owning 5% of anything affords you the ability to move price 20% in one day. That's the leverage. Leverage is 4x1. So we already have a strategic Bitcoin reserve asset. China will say, we own gold through our people. We own Bitcoin through our people, right? So, and that's why, you know, Maxis are right when they say, not your keys, not your coins. That's right. If there's ever an emergency, you're going to be donating your Bitcoin to the government in ETF fashion. Anyway, so the Bitcoin reserve is the thing. But coming back to what Cynthia Loomis said, that could very well be a consequence of it. But everything's a Roach Motel. You have to get out of it. So yada, yada, yada. I had 1,000 words more written on this. But lo and behold, T.S. Lombard put out their predictions for 2025, or their non-prediction predictions. And they said it, I think, better in a humorous way. That also, you know, it's not true, but it would be funny. All right, so here we go. Strategic Bitcoin reserves, T.S. Lombard. The Federal Reserve starts printing trillions of U.S. dollars and investing proceeds in digital currencies. Within 3 months, Bitcoin is trading at $1 million. Jay Powell is giving his press conferences with fake laser eyes, Central banks across the world are dumping their dollar reserves and replacing them with crypto. And it seems the worst fears, or dreams, I should say, of the dollar bears have been realized. The milkshake is melting, right? Naturally, this is great news for the BRICS. They go all in, even holding a mock funeral for the dollar as evidence there. Then, I'm quoting this article, it's funny. Then all of a sudden, things begin to change. The price of Bitcoin starts to drop, and Fed watchers notice that the central bank has secretly been shrinking its asset holdings through a program of stealth QT. Hi, Tether. Within 3 months, the Fed is back to being a no-coiner. Bitcoin is trading at 75 cents, and every other central bank in the world is technically insolvent. Fed staffers publish a working paper titled, Have Fun Staying Poor. King Dollar retakes his throne, and now his supremacy is totally assured, at least for another century. They sure weren't kidding when they said those Bitcoin reserves were strategic. All right, so there are plenty of other topics. I thought that was funny and at the extreme, but it certainly is a consequence. The front end is Bitcoin goes to a million, as Cynthia Luma says. The back end is somebody's going to be holding the bag. Okay, so they talk about Europe, Powell versus Trump. There's a lot of good things in there, and I'll be sharing that later on with you this morning. But the serious topic is Goldman's CTA analysis is out, and well, let's go through it. Simply put, from a month ago, there are less longs in precious metals. There are less shorts in energy. Now, what does that mean going forward? Well, I'm going to try and give you a signpost of where we're headed from here. Commodity by commodity. While small hedge funds and CTAs are long gold, they are always long gold, but they're at their lowest long position they've been in a very, very long time. Simultaneously, silver CTAs and small hedge funds are flat, some are short. Copper is in the negative territory getting short. Now, what does that mean? That means we're on the way towards being oversold. Are we oversold yet? We could be, but you'd like the gun to get loaded a little bit better before something like this. We're going to discuss this in much more detail. I have the charts. I rarely get this report, but it's a very good report if you know how to read it. And I'm going to give everyone a crash course in how to read these charts regarding what the positioning is, what the likely behavior is going forward, and what are some triggers for this to happen over the next, say, 2 weeks to 2 months. Okay, but the bottom line here is there aren't that many longs left in gold. It can go up again. The question is, how bullish will it move on bullish news? So keep that in mind. Next, news and analysis. Yesterday was a very, very light day. Preparing for Trump, a mercantilism checkpoint. That's a piece that we did, and I did a voiceover for everyone. The China tell, Goldman pushes back amidst China OTC buying. That was also published on Zero Hedge. Thank you very much for that. Data on deck, goods and homes. This week, it's all about consumer goods and home sales, durable goods as well. And let's do a final market check, take a look at things. And before we go to the Goldfix CTA analysis, there's Cocoa, give you some perspective. That's a monthly chart. Going to the daily chart for Cocoa. We're also going to cover that in the CTA analysis to give you an idea of what an overbought bubble of a market looks like. But let's take a look at our first loves. There's gold. As predicted or as expected, gold is between 26 and 27. It is at the lower end, again, hovering at the 100-day moving average. I would not be too concerned about the 100-day moving average unless the 50-day turns down or we make a new low there. But generally speaking, I think the market's range is 25.50 to 27.30 for the remainder of the holiday, with 26 and 27 being the inside part of the range. We talked about this about 2 weeks ago. Butterflies are the trade to do. Now, there are reasons to get short, and that those reasons are people want to get short now. So they will look for excuses to sell copper, right? They're not going to sell their stocks. They'll sell copper. They'll sell silver. And then eventually they'll sell gold. But unless there's a news item, people selling these markets will run into dip buying once again. Silver is now, you know, below the 100-day moving average, but still above a recent low. So there's a pattern here, okay? It starts with copper, right? Everyone collectively starts to sell copper as a hedge for their equity or economic exposure. And then after enough have sold copper, some start to sell silver because it has economic factors. And then eventually some people get out of their gold. They don't necessarily get short gold because it's not an economic metal, but they get out of their gold because they don't believe inflation is going to be a problem, because they actually see Powell's going to possibly raise rates again, or let's put it this way, not cut so aggressively. And this feeds on itself. And stocks make a new high. Nobody cares about copper and gold, right? Or silver, right? Stocks start to dip. Silver will accelerate lower because longs and stocks don't want to sell if they don't want to pay taxes. So they'll sell silver to hedge their economic exposure. And the momentum players will do that as well. And so this builds up. You may or may not remember this, but here's the weekly. This is 2022. See this here? This was the Fed's hiking regime. And everyone and their mother and their brother and their brother's sister's father got short. And then down here, India said, enough, we want it. And it went back up. So if that is happening now, and we're, let's say, one third of the way through it, then maybe it goes down to, you know, $27 and change. But it bottoms here, there, like it bottomed here, and you have another leg higher. Elliott Wavers will understand what I'm talking about here. And so that's what I think we want to happen ideally. Can you stomach it? Can your portfolio stomach silver dropping another $2? Can your portfolio stomach gold? See what gold did here? Gold dropping another $100. Mine can. And that's not because, you know, I'm so brilliant. It's because I'm not leveraged, right? Or I'm trading it both ways. Okay. Copper here. Let's look at what copper did during that. See, copper, right? Oh, the Fed's going to hike, right? Sell copper, sell copper, sell copper, right? Stocks came off too, but these markets came off. They got crushed, right? So here we are at the beginning. How much more will copper come off? It could be a lot more. All right. So keep that in mind. You're assuming that the market is biased to go lower right now. You're not concerned because you know it's part of American behavior influencing the market unduly, even though you know foreign central bank buying, remember? Foreign central bank buying, where is that? There it is the same or higher than it's expected to be for the last 2 months, and you say, oh, you stack, you buy a dip, you sit on your hands, you watch and wait. That's the way to do it. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you to Vince, and thanks to everyone watching at home. Sure hope you enjoyed the show, and we appreciate you being here. And before we wrap up, I'd also like to thank Fortuna Mining, who kindly brought us today's show. And Fortuna did have some drill results out from their Seguela mine, where they extended their Kingfisher deposit with a drill intersect of 4.1 grams per ton gold over 15.3 meters. And they also averaged 3.3 grams per ton gold, 150 meters further along strike. And to find out a bit more about the drill results from Fortuna, well, we have a video we posted. Gives a brief recap of that, and that one is coming your way now.